Blog Talk Radio.
Why are you not playing my song? Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Sweet Pea and you on Sweet Discussions. Oh, and Sweet Discussions is rolled right into all poetry, one of the Internet's largest poetry writing groups that you can find out there in the big bad world of writing poetry groups. And inside of that little cup of tea is a sugar cube called Team of Voices, and that is a wonderful group that likes to discuss their poetry, what they write, and other great subjects, topics, like the one we're going to talk about tonight, numerology, the science of numbers in your life, all tied in with, like, astrology and healing and all of those fun little things that I know nothing about, but I think it would be fun to kind of dive into and see what it is all about. So let's get into that, see what that's all about. We just listened to the Beatles, 8 days a week, because it's all about numbers and things that could happen. If you don't know who the Beatles are, let me give you some advice. Pick up a history book, look at the Internet, do something. They're five guys that invaded us back in the 60s from Britain. They're all about rock and roll. And once again, if you don't know who they are, then you need to educate yourself, lift up a rock, crawl out from under it, and learn about them. Because I'm not going to educate you. You need to do something on your own. So there we are. Maybe that's not the proper way of putting it, but that's all I got for you. Let me jump into my pretty studio and say hello to my pretty, pretty bird. Hello, pretty, pretty bird. How are you?
Well, hello, hello, my sweet. I am good. This is going to be an interesting, fun night. So woohoo.
Woohoo. I know. And then Mr. Raconteur, how are you?
I'm good.
They say I have a figure.
36, 24, 36. Only if you're 5'3". Only if you're 5 and your name is Barbie, except I think she's bigger than a 36. But, you know, and smaller than a 24. I think she's like, I don't know exactly what her proportions were, but they were ridiculous. But anyway, and I know I've got some peeps on the board already, so hello to those. I'm very excited to see them, and I'm really excited because I sent out some other people's information, and I got them charted out, and so they're going to call, and we're going to talk about them. But I've got to do what we're going to do. I didn't get a chance to talk to Rack. So, Rack, you are the online victim of your life path. So we're going to start with you, and we're going to chart you. So first off, we're going to talk about numerology and kind of what it is. So I really don't know anything about it. I just kind of, like, did the kindergarten version of, so what is this? What does it do? So basically, and Pretty Bird will help me because she knows more than I do, it's about finding out where you land on the chart based on your birth date and a couple other things that are important. And you find your life path number, and then you find various aspects of the path, and it will help you face your challenges and when you fall, and it kind of gives you the way you should follow your life. Kind of like your own little journey. And if you follow it, it will even show you the challenges that you may have becoming up in your life. And you can use meditation and the metaphysical and holistic medication or holistic path and various things to help you find this journey. There's all kinds of advice, all kinds of things like this, but it aligns with the different planets and all of these things. And again, this is Mickey Mouse Kindergarten, me trying to explain this. And I'm sure there are hundreds of people out there that know a billion things more than I do. So this is very simplistic. I'm not trying to say I know all of this. I know nothing. This is just something that came across me because I had a show a week or so ago that ended up getting canceled that was on 4/4/24. And I've always been told that my birthday, because my birthday is the year I was born, was, like, very fascinating to the people that run this. Anytime I run into them, and they're like, oh, you have such a great number, because 1966 is January 9th, 1966. So I thought, oh, well, let me look into it and see how it's doing. So all I'm going to do, Rack, is have you give me the numbers of your birthday.
Really?
Yeah. Or add them up. Actually, I won't do that. Add all of the numbers in your birthday. So, like, it's January 1st, 1966. Add 1 plus 1 plus 9 plus 1 plus 9 plus 6, 6. So that's what I need to do. Add them up and give me that total number.
72.
Is that the number?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to find out what your number is.
Is that even possible? What year were you born?
Well, are you treating each digit individually, or is it the actual year?
No, you have
individual,
to add up
all the numbers individually.
Yes. Like, if I add up 1 plus 9 plus 1 plus 9 plus 6 plus 6, I get 32.
Okay, I get 28.
Okay.
That's better. Thank you.
Now I got to look it up on the chart. Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Should have had this up. You know, everybody just gets to listen to me. Type, kind of crazy, but okay. Don't be dumb. Now I'm getting an advertisement. Oh, come on now. Don't be stupid. Okay. Sorry. I did not have my things in line.
Saying don't be stupid is asking a lot of us.
I know. That's just me. Come on. Now I got to... Now it's, I lost it. So much for doing something online.
That's because you were born on the line.
I know.
You were born in the age of the clothesline, and then comes the telephone line.
I know. It's like, I can do this. I'm smart enough. I can even talk and walk. Duh. So anyway, we're going to find it, and it's going to give me your life number, and it's going to give me your life path number. Ooh, interesting. You're a number one. Ooh. That's a very strong number. That's a good number. So we're going to see if you fit this. And both Pretty Bird and I know you pretty well. So let's see what happens. All right. You ready, Pretty Bird? Let's see if this fits him. Life path number one. All right. Life path number one. You're known to be independent, ambitious, passionate. Let me know if you agree with any of this or no. You're competitive. Are you competitive? I don't know.
Yeah, I can be competitive.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess you can. You're a creative thinker.
Yeah, the path I'm on is the psychopath. So.
Psychopath. All right. You have an image of confidence and calmness. You're determined and courageous. People always look up to you and take the lead, and some people would say you're always the first to try something new. You prefer to, at work or doing things, you find it easier to do it alone. You don't like people bothering you. It's hard for you to cooperate with others because you're challenging because you tend to think you're always right. Like, this is what should be done. I'm going to do it. Don't get in my way. And I've already looked into it, and I know this is how it should be done. Number one in life path is the masculine number, which is the leader number. You should always have a partner that can play second fiddle to you because you tend to always take the lead. You're focused and an innovator. Let's see. People come across you, they find you confident and focused. What else do you like to do? Now let's see what you like to do in your social life. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. You tend to be more responsible than anything, more. Okay, let's see. Yeah, you're very, very, you know, respectable or organized. You like to be organized. You like to be mentally fit, and you like to, like, know what you're going into. So I don't know if this is the way you are or the way you've always been, but you tend to get a little irritated if things don't go your way. I personally have never seen that. You do take bold risk with things that you like to do. You are very creative It sets you apart from others. Intelligence. And you're a conversationalist. And people that get you love your humor. People that don't find you annoying.
I could see that. See, part of that though is that there's areas where like if I'm comfortable with someone, I'll let them see my frustration. You know, more often than not, if I'm frustrated at something, I'll try and hide it. Or I'll try and, you know, more flies with sugar than vinegar. So I won't always, you know, let my frustration show. But depending on my mood or, you know, if I don't care about, you know, what I'm trying to accomplish, I'll just let loose. And I'll be like, you know what, I'm going to flex. And it feels good sometimes to let it out and not bottle it up and pretend to be in control. So, you know, it depends on, you know, and Pretty Bird will tell you that more often than not, I'm in that kind of a mood these days because the hell with hiding it anymore. Get off my lawn.
Yo, well, you know, you just let the path open for Pretty Bird to say whether she thinks any of those traits fall in line with you, if she thinks it's full of horse pucky, or what is she thinking?
I think it's a 50-50 split. Wait, I'm sitting here looking at, what were the weaknesses?
He can be irritating to people. For those that know him, they find his humor and characteristics charming, and for those that don't, they find him kind of irritating.
Okay, that's facts.
He likes to be very organized. He likes things in a certain order, and when they're not, he also gets very irritated. He likes to be in charge of things, so if
that's
he's
fact.
Already studied it, he thinks that this is the way it should be done, and if it doesn't go that way, he gets a little uptight.
Well, for me, that also plays to consistency in the sense that, you know, if things get out of order, it's harder for me because I can't see. So I have to do things a certain way, and I have to try and maintain
but
that
were
order.
You that, were you that way prior to that?
I would imagine so.
In a lot of aspects I was, but I didn't mind the curveballs either. It's like I'll make it work. I wasn't one that like it had to be that way. It was like, you know, it was easier.
You're good with challenges.
I'm sorry.
I said you're good with challenges. You're like, ooh, challenge accepted. But once you find what works for you, there's no reason for you to want to change that. Okay, you do you. I'm good like this. Thank you very much. You know, unless, of course, it's wildly more efficient, and then you'll concede just fine because you're not one to want to waste your time for no reason.
Well, it depends on how you spend
your
time with.
That is literally just being your tiny little itty-bitty tip of the smallest fingernail you have into this, because that is just like that's your number, and what you do with that number, you can go in so many different directions. So I was just very, very excited to know that you could like get a number and go to this, and then, you know, and I watched an hour video on how they get to that number. So that was interesting enough. And the homeopathic medicines, and whether it's Reiki or yoga or all of those other things, or a combination of all those things, I thought it was pretty interesting to go there with all of that. So it was kind of fun, just FYI. And Pretty Bird and I talked about it a little bit today, too, and that was kind of interesting because I think that you can look at it one way or look at another, like Nostradamus, I mean, no one's going to say his name wrong. Nostradamus. They say based on the pages and numbers and chapters and all that in the Bible itself, if you follow those numbers, all of his predictions you can find inside the Bible. And I don't know how that mathematical formula works, but it's also if you take the Latin language and a couple of the, I think it's Latin, Hebrew, and I can't remember what the other one is, but if you take their, like, first letter of their alphabets, they all, one is one, and different sounds come together, and that's the basis of our language today. So, and then there's also the way the certain things line up between the numbers and the stars and all that, which is why Stonehenge is in perfect order, or the pyramids are in perfect order, or why you have one stone on one side of the earth versus the other side of the earth, and if you drew a straight line, they'd be together, is because the mathematics of how ancient civilizations did things. Now, or you can go to the other theory that aliens did it. So you have the mathematics of the number of people that say, no, they lined it according to the mathematicals or the numbers, and said that's how they did it, so that's why you have perfect alignment, because this the east side of the world understood numbers and the west side, so they align their stuff according to those numbers. So when if they're parallel or whatever, however they word it, they based on math is how they did it, or the aliens did it, whichever way you want to look at it. But it's all done mathematically, so it's pretty interesting to me. I'm going to say hi to Deb. Hello.
Hi, Deb.
Hello.
So it's all.
How are you?
It's all, you know. I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there too.
Greetings and salutations.
Hey, Raconteur.
And if you look at if you've ever been in a plane over, any country pretty much. If you look down, everything is done. Basically, they're in squares or rectangles, because we do everything by, when we were developing the land and giving away land, it was always done in a certain geometrical formula. So even now, our land is from plane or you know, looking down, you can see the mathematical formula we put our stuff in. So numbers are pretty much how we rule the world. And I hate to say that because I hate numbers. But it's pretty an interesting byproduct of how life is, because numbers are more universal language than emojis, which is hard to believe.
Yeah,
I know, that book emoji is pretty universal.
Yeah, I know. And we even call that number two, now don't we?
That is true. Look at you.
Quick-witted tonight, aren't I?
I see this.
I know. Deb, are you on a read and run?
I am, hon. I got to pick up my son. I'm just excited that I actually had enough time to call this time.
That's good. I'm glad because you're a number two. You're a number two, and I know that we talked in your poems actually about your life path number, so I was actually pretty excited about that. So if you want to throw that up on the board, and then we can talk about it.
It's up. Set up. Pretty bird, beat me to it. Thank you. Okay.
Welcome.
All right. So, sweet, I really had fun reading on this. I learned some things, and I found a new piece of crystal that I must have. I used some of the aspects that I learned of my journey or my path and stuff like that to make this. So it is called, in numerology, my lucky number and my path is 2. Here we go. On life's roller coaster, emotions can sucker punch you. In the pleasures and in pain,
and a mixture of the two. People spread smiles like sweet sugared pink, but they can use darkness too, shadowing the hue of color. In numerology, find me on path two. People on path two seek color. We can find balance and harmony in green, as the beast inside is tamed by music. Yellow represents intuition and sensitivity. That balance is discovered through poetry. Blue is dependability and trust. Purple resonates spirituality and imagination. Red radiates energy. And orange is enthusiasm. A stone graced by the golden locks of angels encases needle-like inclusions. The needles look like strands of gold. It's called rutilated quartz crystal. With that stone wrapped inside a palm, we can look inside ourselves, seeking a yin and yang, and clarifying the duality of the universe walking down the path set for us. Well, that duality begs the question, if agony is aiming down the alley and then throwing a gutter ball, laughing out loud, bowling a 300 after smashing the pins for 12 strikes, and pull.
Wow, you kind of nailed two right on the head. You're definitely the feminine of the numbers. You can be, you know, very, very into yourselves, or like looking for your inner selves and looking around and seeing the world in different colors and different lights. Very creative, very spiritual. I would say that definitely fits you. It doesn't surprise me that you're a two. I mean, all this surprises me that anybody has any kind of like connection to any of these numbers, to be very honest with you, because I'm not really a believer in these kind of sciences, but it surprises me. Did it surprise you at all?
You know, what surprised me a lot was, as you just said, how many of the things that were said were spot on, like the sensitivity and empathic and the, like, I love to do things and for people. And I mean, there's so many. The fact that the colors guide. And, I mean, it was like, what? The only thing is, my whole life I thought my lucky number was three. Who knew it was two?
Now, hold on. Now, I will tell you something really quickly. Now, three is an advancement, because if you take one plus two is three, so in the path numerology, you can take one and two, which is a male and a female, and grow with the three. So it's like a natural development that you ooze one and two, because you always have the masculine and feminine with you. And then three is just the next, they call them like the tri numbers or something. It's a progression. And three, they kind of sometimes bleed together, those three. And that's where you integrate one and two into harmony, wholeness, self-expression, fast thinking, adaptability. So those are your first three are your progressions. And I may not be saying that exactly the way it should be saying, like I clarified before, this is Mickey Mouse kindergarten level of understanding. But I do know that the one plus two equals the three. So you have your masculine, your feminine, and then your progression into the, it kind of reminds me of Maslow's hierarchy kind of thing. But those you can go forward into. Just like in number six is the combination of the good aspects of four and three. So they all kind of intertwine sometimes as you're going through this. But, yeah, so that doesn't surprise me that you have a progression going towards the integration of your harmony, your wholeness, and your self-expression. So three could be what you're aiming for, which is why you figure it's your lucky number.
Yeah, it sounds like it makes sense. Oh, and on top of it all, the sign of the twins is Gemini is the twins, like a two. So you know, two is around much more than I have two daughters, two sons. So when I started thinking about the number two, I was bombarded with stuff flashing in my mind that fit into the two thing. So it was really, really cool, sweet. I had a fun time with it. Didn't mind
Good.
The homework at all.
I know, and I don't usually give homework. No, I really like your poem, too. That's pretty amazing. And I really like the throwing the gutter ball is laughing out loud, bowling a 300 after spending. That, I thought, was a great ending.
Oh, that's just a little touch that will appeal to my hostess.
I know.
Like,
that's why I thought it was great.
And the sweet sugared pink, too.
Yeah. It was great.
Thank you so much.
I really like it. So if you got a chance, I'll ask Pretty Bird what she thinks.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm fine. Because I was listening, but then I'm good. I'm good. I heard the whole poem, and then my mind went sideways. My bad. But there is something. I have to smile when, you know, it's all about colors. Because how fabulous is that? I mean, that's kind of perfect. I'm just saying. And I love that. I love that. Reading your poem, it's very much kind of how I see, or how you are on here anyways in your poetry with your box of crayons and your spiritual nature. And I think that's lovely. And that crystal sounds amazing. Like, I've never heard of it. I'm going to look that up. Like, that just sounds really amazing. I love that. I love that a lot. I like that whole the idea of clarifying the duality of the universe, and the fact that you're a Gemini kind of makes that absolutely perfect. So, yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome.
And Rat.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Push button.
Yeah, I mean, you did all the research, and, you know, you have all the details, so you're in a position to do that. And you kind of laid it out for the rest of us that are interested, or, you know, in passing, kind of gave an explanation of what goes on behind the scenes a little bit. So it was pretty cool.
Thank you so much. Great comment. And Pretty Bird, I had never heard of that stone either. I found it while doing my homework for Sweet, and I'm fascinated by it. And you should really do look them up. They are, some people use them for beautiful jewelry. But I just like what it says. You know, you can get like energy from it. And I think the biggest part for me is the fact that normally, you know, you pick up a diamond or whatever, and if there are inclusions there, it loses value. But for these, it's the flaws that bring it the most beauty, and I love that. So, Pollyanna, what can I say?
I like it. I
Isn't
really
it gorgeous?
Do. Yeah, I really do. I think it's pretty. I will let you know that AP and I have the same life path number.
Interesting.
Yes.
You're both at five?
Yep.
I didn't know
five.
You were, yeah, I didn't know you were going to tackle that. I just figured it would be how I tackled my poem. And when I spoke to him yesterday, I had him work out his number. And then I believe he incorporated the number into his poem. So.
Yeah, I sent him a whole bunch of little things into, like, what he was and all that. So I sent him, like, a little snapshot of, like, his characteristics and all that kind of stuff, too. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Quick
question. You had already done it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I heard it earlier. But, Sweet, how precious is that painting or that drawing that you chose for AP's Anzac show? That child won a sponsored contest with that, and
it's gorgeous.
Something I wanted to keep it, and I'm like, no, I'm going to put it on a board because I know it's going to scream at Sweet. So I'm glad it did.
Yes, it did.
Anyway.
It's perfect. Yeah, I Yeah, I have like a half a poem in my head already for that.
I bet, yeah. No, and the expression in the eyes, the person,
yeah.
The child who drew that is fabulous. Anyway, sorry.
Yes. That's okay. I understand. It's gorgeous. And the fact that child did it is beyond my comprehension. That's the
right?
cool thing about it. Yeah.
Right. I totally agree. And if you click on AP's page and you see that the flower that's on the front of his book, his daughter
uh-huh.
drew that. She's phenomenal. So, yeah, some kids are amazing. But, yeah, anyhow.
Yeah. Those are pretty
so,
cool.
So, you push shows later. You could just push mine for me if you don't mind because I have to
oh,
go.
Oh, not a problem. All right.
But,
we will push
respect
your
you
show
all.
Like we always do. All right, darling.
Personal problem.
Have a good morning.
No problem.
Personal problem
right,
Mondays.
We'll talk to you.
All right.
Yeah. Bye.
So, sweetness.
Yes.
You got my number wrong. I mean, my number for all of my things is 3, but you masked wrong earlier today.
Oh, did I?
You did.
I told you 2, didn't I? No, what did I tell you?
You told me 3.
I did tell you 3. What is
and
it?
And you did. It's a 6.
She said there were 5. She said there were 5 Beatles, so.
I must have math wrong. Well, there you go. Then that's why yours didn't make a whole lot of sense to us.
Oh, but it will.
Oh, no.
Oh, see. Oh, that's good then, because we were kind of guessing back and forth on yours because we were not really seeing you in yours. Because we were like, well, maybe, sort of. And you were like, I call horse pucky. You said that like 3 times. So I wonder.
Horse pucky.
So now you have
oh
to share.
Oh, my goodness.
You have to spill.
It would be interesting to see whatever you looked it up at before, what it says about a number 6. I don't know which website you use.
Let me see.
She used Disney. She said it was Mickey Mouse.
No, well. That's my...
Yeah, keep on saying that. They're probably, you know, they're probably listening. They're very quick to put out cease and desist orders on things.
Yes.
That vaguely
yes.
resembles a mouse.
Yeah, no. Okay. Well, this is you. This definitely fits you much better. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Number 6 represents family, love, harmony, and nurturing. They are trustworthy, gentle, loving, sympathetic. They are natural caregivers who are always ready to offer emotional support. Some say that people with the number 6 are lucky. They have good personality. They are very caring for their children. They are soft-spoken, romantic, and have the gift for harmonious environments.
Okay, your number 6 and what I'm reading are 2 different things.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay. Harmonious. Love it. Go ahead. My bad. I will shut up. Read on.
I'm reading the good parts first. Not always go to the bad parts. Why you always got to go to the bad part first?
Because they define me? You can read all the good. Read all the good.
I'm saying you got to go to the bad parts first. You don't got to go to the bad part first.
Stop somewhere around harmonious.
I know, because you've interrupted me, and you're like,
yeah.
Like, oh, that's not right. That can't be right. That's just too nice. All right. Okay. Man, I just lost my place again. Let me get my studio back up. Oh, wait, AP's on the line. Hello, AP. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing good. We are talking about Pretty Birds number 6. So,
Have you gone into trouble yet?
You are Venus ruled.
Yes.
Yes, you have the planet of love and beauty. You take responsibility for those you love. You're too protective of your inner circle. You are the tower of strength. You exert your control, even dominance over others without noticing. you are a skilled writer. They have their own cognitive process. You appreciate the thrills and conveniences of life. Again, you safeguard your loved ones. That just keeps coming up over and over again. Let's see. They have a big heart, but only to a point, it doesn't always convert into aid and kindness. Okay. They find themselves in circumstances where others take advantage of their goodwill. They are vulnerable to people's bad intentions and might incur significant losses. They have a flaw in that if they can't stand being alone, which is presumably why they're always looking for companionship. One thing they need to learn is the fact they should learn to say no to people. Their nurturing and overprotective tendencies tends them to take care and look out for others a bit too much, would probably cause them to become very controlling. Are you controlling, Pretty Bird? I don't see that.
No.
Nope, not at all.
A little bit. A little bit.
You...
suit up.
And you tend to be strongly opinionated.
I may resemble that.
You refuse to be lied to. And forgiveness once bitten, twice shy is the analogy. Don't lie to Pretty Bird. She'll kick your ass.
A little bit. The one I have says that I may struggle with perfectionism and idealism and can hold myself to unreasonably high standards where I have a tendency to put everybody else before me.
Yeah. That does make a lot more sense than what we were reading earlier.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So
I mean, except for the, you know, soft-spoken hullabaloo, everything else is pretty good.
Oh, I don't know about that. Because that is soft-spoken inner circle family children. Doesn't say to outside people. It says
no, but she,
very detailed.
She has an even hand with that, though. You're an ass. I love you.
That's true, but it's still never, you're an asshole, I can't stand you, why not? No, it's still soft smoking.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't.
I can't let anybody think that my anger diminishes my love. Yeah.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, I've heard you call your very loving boys, you're an asshole, come here, give me a kiss before you leave.
My one ordinary one has a keychain that I have to keep on reminding him of that says, you know, don't do stupid shit, love mom.
Yeah. So you have that gentle circle of balance in there. So I think that's what that means. I don't think it means to outside people. But that's interesting. So, AP, are you on? I got to read and work. Or you got a minute to tell us about number 5.
Yeah.
something, and yeah, no, I've got a poem. I've been mucking around with, I'm on lunch break, and I got a parcel in the mail, and it was a sort of loopy sort of thing that I sort of thought, well, I've been in hospital for a week and a bit, and I'm out now, but I missed painting, and I thought to myself, well, how am I going to do that, you know, if that ever happened again? What would I do differently? And I thought to myself, well, you could get yourself an itty-bitty tiny paint set so that you could take along, you see. And so if you look on the board now, you'll see a picture of my newest little thing, which is basically an inch by an inch, that book, to put it into thing. And so the little paint set
that
there
is
that
adorable.
Closes together with it is about an inch and a half wide by an inch and a half high, and it's all dry, the paints, and so you can actually, if it all happened next time, I could take that along to hospital with me and paint, which is kind of therapeutic. Anyway,
that's very
that
cute.
That is awesome.
I like
that's
it.
Cool. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I have a poem. Sweet. Have a poem.
Good.
And it's on topic even, which is scary. It's on topic. And it includes the picture that I've got there for no other reason other than I just did it. It has absolutely nothing to do with the poem. This is Remembering Three. It goes a bit like this. Must we always start with one? Why not say 42? As was established for a son by a master writer too. Missed three altogether, did not think of 14. Multiply 6 by 7, weather into 21 times too lean. 5, my lucky number, not present, but 12 plus 8 minus 11 gives 9 and plus 1, 10 cents, but 3 again gives 13 zen. 15, 16, almost to 20, then nearly half where we started. We've had 3 teenage years, plenty, halfway off where we parted.
Oh, yeah, okay. So 5 has nothing to do with it. But, yeah, I really like this because, yeah. First off, I will tell you just by writing the poem the way you wrote the poem in its mass amount of follow this lead, but don't follow this lead because I'm going to take you on a trip that you don't know what kind of trip you're going to go on. But I'm going to have fun taking you there, just FYI.
Yeah.
And we're going to go here to there to here to there because it's just a wave of fun, makes you a 5. But I
Thank
loved
you.
It. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on it?
I am going to nerd out for a second because, of course, why not start with the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything? I mean, that answer
yes,
has
absolutely.
To be the beginning and end of all things. So,
yes.
So yes, I say yes. Start at 42, because that was
oh, yeah.
awesome. You know, when you tickle my nerd bone, I kind of like it, I got to say. And so that was just awesome. So I smiled through this whole entire thing. And I don't math, but I am loving the frolicking twists and turns in these numbers that, mind you, I will be math checking because I get all excited when everything actually works out like it should. And I know that you're particular about how you write. So I'm planning for the magic and I am loving that. So I'm very excited for after the show, just so that I can put actual numbers to your number words.
Oh,
I'm not a nerd, it's fine.
Oh my God, I cannot believe I didn't catch Hitchhikers. I did not catch
I'm a better nerd than you.
Oh, obviously you are. I did not even catch that. And I'm like, oh my God, 42, how did I not catch that? Oh, I'm bad. That was totally flew by my head until the second you said, oh, I'm glad you nerded me out. And I went, oh, 42, Hitchhiker. But okay.
42.
Yeah. Yes, totally.
Yeah.
As soon as you said nerd, and I went, and I saw it, and I went, oh, man, Sweet. Anyway. Raggedy, your thoughts?
You know, when it comes to numbers, AP above all others holds himself accountable. I think what it boils down to is, you know, you say five, I say fifth. That's the fun of it, and I just enjoyed it. And anytime you can, you know, take the numbers and make them dance like that, it shows you have, a good grasp of, your balance sheet. I really appreciated it for what it was, and you know, the nerdism of 42 and everything else is just it's a lovely incorporation of all of that.
Thank you, Rick.
Oh, it is.
Thank you.
So I have a couple of questions because I know you read The Life Path because I sent some of it to you, and I know you and Deb discussed it the other day. So what do you think, if any of that follows through for you or any of that hubbubaloo or any of that?
I think I love numbers. You know, I loved maths until maths didn't become about numbers. And so I got to third year maths at university and everything became about letters and conjunctions and brackets and it completely lost me. And I scraped my way through third year maths with my fingernails bleeding by the very edges. And but normal, everyday sort of numbers and numerology, I'm all up for. Sweet. No, I think it's good fun. I think often there's more to these things than what at first appears to the surface.
I don't disagree, and that's why I keep saying that this is, you know, for me, tonight is more about the Mickey Mouse, barely kindergarten version of what I have no clue what's going on, but I thought it'd be fun just to indulge for an evening. I found it interesting that you and I are both fives, but
yes,
I did not find it. I found it kind of interesting because the travel, the adventure, the whole always changing, always reinventing what we're going to be in the next 5 or 10 years or moving forward and
yes,
doing all that. I saw, you know, there's a commonality there. There were some things that I saw, just even based on conversations you and I have had off the site. But I really did. I found that pretty interesting. And the other one I found very interesting is the whole always riding the next wave of constant transformation of who you were yesterday and who you're going to be next. You know, there's never a steady, I'm going to be here for 50 years and get a gold watch and go on, because I thought that was that's definitely my life. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's mine too now, sweet. I did, you know, 20 odd years of gold watch stuff, then turned around and sort of didn't like what I saw, and made a conscious decision that I did need to keep on doing new stuff and reinventing myself and learning new things and doing things differently. And, you know, basically set out to own that. And, you know, I think I've been pretty good at keeping on pushing myself and doing stuff that, you know, I would never have thought I would have done years ago.
Yeah. I did the 20-year thing, too, and then it just, I went, yeah, I can't do that anymore. I went back to school and, you know, ended up doing the 2 degrees and all that.
I mean, I think sometimes you get to a certain point and you actually decide that that's what your life is and you slowly die. And I've seen a number of my friends do that. They just commit themselves completely to a life of ridiculous quantities of work, and then for some reason they stop work, they get kicked out or whatever happens, and unfortunately they seem to be dead fairly quickly thereafter. And I've just seen it too many times, Sweet, that if you're not inventing yourself and trying different things and expanding yourself, you end up not alive. And so I'd rather and try
diminishing returns.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and as I said, I just the if you put yourself in that little box, well, that's where you'll end up a lot quicker.
Yeah, in the little box.
That's it.
So I don't know if you have to go or if you can stay, but we're going to talk about five because that's also me.
Well, let's talk about five, and then I'll disappear after five. Sweet, because
okay.
I have a connection. Obviously.
Okay. So we'll talk about the personal traits of a five and what we're all about and all of that. So, a five.
Five.
Yeah. The five are some basics. Basically, we like to be independent and disciplined in all aspects of our life, whether it's adventurous or business or whatever. We don't like chaos. We like to know what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and we like to kind of be in charge of that happening. A little bit of control freak. We like to find significant expression. We like to be versatile. We have mental curiosity, we like change, we like to travel. We're generally successful in business management or tackling a project. We're known as either the prince or the princess. We like to party and we like to flirt. We're commutative, we're intelligent, we have great writing skills. We tend to be flamboyant or snarky with our words. No, not at all. we have an insatiable curiosity and enjoy chatting, which we're a little talkative. We definitely push personal freedoms. Like, we don't want to, like, if that's what you believe, that's what you believe kind of thing. And again, in a lot of different ways, personal freedom just comes up again and again, personal independence. You know, you're going to go do your thing, I'm going to do my thing. Not like, you know, like immoral things we're totally against, but it's really people live their lives to live their lives. It's a very difficult balancing act for us. We're not necessarily very good at trusting people, but once we do find that commitment, we adore the people that we're with. But we really have to trust them. Fives are just kind of the free spirits of the number world, but we're free spirits with objectives and discipline. So we're kind of our own dichotomy, and that's pretty much us. So I don't know if you guys have something to say about that, but there we are.
I mean, I think I can own most of that this way. The stuff about getting to know people and letting those in is absolutely true. I know I do it. I set very high bars people and you know, they've got to be pretty bloody spot on to get through that gate. You know, you're right. Once they get through the gate, I'm completely trusting of those people. So, this dichotomy. I mean, it is a dichotomy that I love strategizing and planning and working out where companies are going to be. It's difficult to do, but I'm crazy good at it. You know, most of the strategy days and workshops and plans that we've had, I've ended up being the one that's actually constructed it. So it's just, you know, it's just something I love. As I said, I'm very good at it and I don't blow my trumpet too often. sweet, but I'm actually bloody good at the business stuff. You know, we turned Club Assist, which was a business that was bought for $80 million. When I left 7 years afterwards, it was worth $350. And the health fund in the time I've been chair has doubled its reserves. So we've now got $250 million with members funds with no debt, which puts us equal to the big sort of football codes and Volvo and all those sort of companies in Australia. So we've done a bloody good job, and it's all due to the people that we've had in there, and I've had a lot to do with having those people in there. So I've had an influence, and I think there's a whole heap of things in that. But yeah, I just love doing it.
Yeah, and you can be, if you're like me, you can walk in and be the life of the party, but your inner circle, your true
yep.
inner circle of friends are very small.
Yes.
You know, your people that actually know who
yes.
you are very tiny. And,
yeah.
you let,
yep.
It's very
and
tiny. And
I sort of think of myself as sort of gemstone, you know, like a faceted gemstone. And If you know 30-40% of those facets, you're probably doing well.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm waiting to see. So, Pretty Bird, what do you think of any of those aspects? Because, you know, you know me pretty well.
I think that in, you know, certain situations and certain areas of involvement or things like that, I think that they are perfectly suited. Perfectly suited. I think that it speaks to a lot about, because I know you a little bit, you know, better than API, Sadi. When it comes to your, like all of this addresses how you address the universe, like the world at large, and not so much your people, because you're different with your people. I mean, you're the same, but it's all
right.
The things, not just some of the things. So, but
right.
yeah, you absolutely are that, you know, you need to be in front of that bus, get over your shit, let's go. And you're usually not wrong, you know? So that's it's good that you're that way, because it's a very helpful thing, because you don't have time to dilly-dally. You don't want to hear the bullshit. Don't hear excuses. Yeah, let's just go. And I kind of love that. So yes. I can absolutely see that.
But I think that's why we're.
But it's all good things. It's all for the better, you know.
But again, that's why I think we're a dichotomy in and of ourselves, because there is mm-hmm. a public face. That is all business and all, hey, this is this. And then there's that, once you get us outside of that, there's this space that in the group of people we trust, that we are so relaxed and we're so different and we're so flirty and fun and giggles and adventurous, that we're almost two sides of a coin, kind of, because not that we're not always in control of the situation, know what's going on and who's saying what, and like demand of that room, where I always am. But it's a different side, a different, softer, more gentler kind of being. Because I am definitely, if I'm in a room of people I trust, 100%, I am different than I am going to present myself in a room full of people that I sort of know.
Yeah. I think that's right, sweet. And it depends on the role you're playing, you know, because I'm playing a sort of senior, staid, boring business role. That's the 10% of people. That's the 10% of me that most people see. And that's perfectly fine. And most people would think I'm an incredibly boring, staid person, and for the vast majority of people, that's exactly who I am.
Exactly. I like
that. Well, I think you're delightful.
I do, too.
Whereas, you go up Ella, you know, and she'll tell you a completely different story. So you know, it just depends, you know.
Exactly. And I mean, we get glimpses of that every once in a while in the naughty room. And it's fun. And you know, you let your guard down every once in a while. But generally, you know, you express yourself through your poetry, and we get sequences of that. But again, you're also presenting yourself on a live radio show to all kinds of people. And I think that's why we get more glimpses in the other room, because it's private. It is, we definitely get glimpses of me in a private radio show that we definitely don't get out here. But,
the beauty of the way that you guys write. It's, you could put it out there, and unless somebody knows you, they're going to completely gloss over what you're really saying. So you could say something and, you know, chuckle to yourself that it's out there and you're saying it, and really only like three people in the entire room will know that that's what you're saying. And that's an amazing way to write, because, you know, it still makes sense to everyone else and they're all smiling, but they're wondering why, you know, everyone, those other two people are laughing a little louder than everybody else. And that's what it means, you know, when you have, you know, a true friend, you know, somebody that really knows you.
Well, I will say AP follows a little bit much better than I do with the snarky wit and writing. I'm not quite as good at it as he is. I would love to develop that, but he definitely has that snarky bite and wit to his poems, where I'm more like a surprise, twisty ending kind of girl. But I do enjoy his snarky wit and bite, so that's definitely your forte. So that's awesome. So that's numerology number 5.
So. I actually did a secret poem in a poem a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, did you?
After the
sneak attack.
Yes. I'm just trying to find it, because it's kind of nice, and I haven't posted it, but I will put it on the board so that you can you can have a look. Because of course, we unfortunately had Andy pass, and then we had a competition appear by Kevin to talk about that and what a wonderful person she was. And he very diligently put that contest up of this person who'd helped out for 20, 30 years and put 1,000 points towards the contest. And I thought to myself, you cheap bastard. And so
1,000 points?
I then went and offered 10,000 points. I think Deb went and did the same thing. So it ended up being 20,000 points. And that was much more appropriate, I think, for somebody who'd put in all of that time into the show.
Within ourselves, look what we did for Paint Out. If he would have asked for donations, I can't imagine how many points he would have gotten from all poetry people themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I just thought to myself,
I'm so sorry. Did you say Kevin?
Yeah.
The man who actually makes the point?
Yeah.
Yes, correct. Oh, you know, I think that's sort of dumb comment that was like, oh, this is a great community and thank you for that. And, of course, you know, you send the points and I'll put them into the competition and stuff. And I just couldn't. You know, I just couldn't sort of fathom it, really. It annoyed me, it pissed me off, it just, you know, everything together, because, you know, as you rightly say, he makes the points. he wants to give away a million points, he just makes some more, you know. So, it, it, yeah, it just, it, it, that he,
He literally missed the point.
And he did miss the point. I was trying to say that you're an arsehole, basically, and he missed it completely. He should have done it in the first place because, you know, as you say, he makes the points and says, why wouldn't you do it, you know?
Especially since points are free regardless.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, they're not, like, they have no value.
Well, I believe you can buy points, but, you know, that's
you
neither here nor there.
I promise you, he does not buy his own points.
I'm going to post this poem, and then I'm going to tell you what's thing about it. So this is the poem that I did for Andy, which I've just put up on the board. The thing about this, I'm just trying to think what the bloody thing was now. If you go down this poem and take the first letter, then the second letter, then the third letter, then the fourth letter, then the fifth letter in turn. Yeah, so let's just do that. K-E-V-I-N. Kevin. That's the first five. Where do we get six? That's my guitar. S. This number six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The next letter is U, under quiet Q. The next letter after that is C, under coaxes. The next letter after that is K, for rakes. And then S is the next letter. And so it's Kevin sucks, really, is if you go down and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, till you get to line 16, you get the Kevin sucks really little hidden.
Oh my God. That is freaking hilarious. Oh,
and it ain't wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, I say that just because I do these strange things, and it gave me great joy when I did it, because the poem actually is a perfectly pleasant poem about Andy, but it has a perfectly sensible message about our site owner as well.
It's very satisfying even to know it's there and we didn't write it. I'm just going to say that because, yes.
He wrote it in April, so that makes it an Easter egg, right?
Yeah, it's a bit like the Kinder Surprise with the toy inside. It's a little bit like that. Anyway.
Oh, my God. This is what I mean by the snarky.
Yeah,
it's
awesome. Snarky. Yep, it's snarky. It is definitely snarky. It's
that's fabulous.
I know.
Professionally
this
disciplined
is what I mean. Professionally
yeah,
disciplined snarky.
Yep.
The snark is
awesome.
Indigenous to Australia.
Fine, there you go. That's what I do when I'm having fun. You know, strange really. Anyway.
That's what I do for fun.
So I'm going to exit stage left with that.
Well,
poem.
Thank you. And you were fun, number five.
You have a wonderful, wonderful day, AP.
Thank you very much.
Yes, AP.
And we will talk very soon. Thanks, Wes.
Okay. Cheers. Thanks. Bye, AP.
Okay. See ya.
Oh, my God. That man cracks me up. Absolutely.
That's only
cracks me up.
Yeah.
All right. I have two poems that need readers. I want to assign one to you, Rack. No.
Hey, you with the jokes.
I know. I'm full of them tonight. I don't know why. What the hell's wrong with me? Let's see. Let me go all the way to the top. I don't know if one is in my studio or not. No, he is not. So do you want Slade or do you want Hatter?
Hatter.
Okay. Go with Hatter then.
Okay, give me one second. My dog is just like, why did you take me off the bed? Because you needed to eat. And she's like, but I just want to be on the bed. Did I not copy the picture? Yes, I did. Okay.
Sweet, what do you call a pencil?
I have no idea.
Pointless.
You're funny.
Okay. This is Five. She Told Me Five by Jay Hatter. And it goes like this. I questioned the numbers not told to me. That day I met a witch called White. She held my hand so she might see the future of my life. She asked me for my numbers, all the dates since 57. I wished I knew my future before I went to heaven. One thing that I noticed, the five she jotted down. I felt a change inside me and everything around. When she came to the number four, and I didn't want to do this anymore, I felt her hand slip from mine. She added to the number nine. Power pulsed through my elder veins. I love this number in this game. Then she paused to write some more. This time it was the number four. My heart went weak. I could not lie. I thought my number would add to five. Confused, I sat back waiting for her to tell me the numbers that she was sure was added up to tell me why I had 3 months before I'd die. She never said that I'd be dead. One day before next spring, she waited for me to get up and leave. She never said one thing. I remembered her and her numbers games while struggling through all the pain. Did my numbers tell her that soon I would die? I never trusted the reasons I would be the number five. Did she? Could she? Why she dropped my hand? While looking at my numbers, I did not understand. White saw something that I was never told, a secret that would follow me so I would not grow old. Do I believe in numbers and the sum that they combine? Counting days before the end, it adds to number nine. In poem.
Wow. I'm so confused. But that was really cool. I had 3 months before I died. One day before next, she never said a thing. But this is like, I don't like numbers, and mathematically this is insane, and he'll never grow old, and I thought my number would add to five. I cannot lie, and it all adds up to number nine. Yeah, it's got to be some kind of message or something I don't understand, but it's a really cool story. So, Pretty Bird, please explain it to me.
Well, in his author's notes, he says, if someone tells you they can see ahead, what would you do if they see that you're dead? Or don't say one thing when you're waiting to hear what you came for. And that's an interesting concept. It's like when you go to you know, the gypsy with the crystal ball. And they ask you a question. And, you know, they're like, okay, tell me a couple of things about you. Now tell me what you want to ask the spirits or the universe or the powers that be. And you're waiting for a response. And do we know that they saw something at all, that they're just telling you nonsense? Or do we know that they don't, that you're there to want to hear good news so they don't tell you the bad stuff? And what would you do if they saw, you know, when your demise would happen? And do you want to know? Do you not want to know? When you went there looking for love, do you want to know that, hey, when you go to the doctor next week, you're going to be in for a doozy? I mean, that's how I took it, that, you know, because most people don't go, you know, seeking these things out for more than just coincidences and fun and games and just to see and what the heck. And so when things get somber and they're getting a reading from wherever they're getting readings and you let go of that connection of the hands, like, I don't want to see that. Like, you know, that's not the angel that's guarding you, you know, and they don't tell you anything. A, that'll freak you out. And B, do you really want to know? And so it's my brain is swimming. So I could be way off base, but this is where my mind went.
Because it wasn't like something geeky like I missed. It was just a really cool story.
Yeah, this is like a hypothetical. I don't know. I mean, okay. I'm thinking he's a number five. But through all that, it's like he's kind of expecting the person in the story was like kind of expecting something to kind of align with his sense of self in that life path. And then, you know, Gypsy Lady got weird.
Right. Okay.
Like,
but that's what I
what
thought,
was that all
and
about?
Then I'm like,
yeah.
What happened? Did I miss something? Is this some kind of like
no,
thing I don't know anything about?
Creative.
Okay. Yeah. Because it's really great.
This
story.
One is not
it's
the
kind of wicked and dark. Okay, this is really dark and wicked, and I really liked it. Then good. Not that I didn't like it before. I just thought I was missing something. Cool. All right. Whew. And Hatter, your thoughts?
Nice. I enjoyed the piece a lot. You know, to me, it speaks of the expectations some people have. People sometimes, you know, especially when you're dealing with something unexplainable or mysterious, that they want to explain it in their minds, and they come up with all kinds of excuses like, oh, you know, like your numerology. Oh, people speak in generalizations. That'll fit anybody. And then you start to make it fit your own circumstances. So, you know, when you go to a gypsy or whatever and you're looking for a specific answer and they go down a different path than you're expecting, it could kind of throw you for a loop because, you know, how did they know that? What are they seeing? Where is that coming from? You know, oh, it's all hokum. You know, the whole fox and the grapes things, and it's like, you know, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about, or, you know, it's really very open to interpretation, and like you said, it's enough to make your head explode because, you know, people see they make things fit in the ways that they want to, you know, not necessarily hear what they want to, because, you know, even though she's telling him one thing, he's like, no, I'm a five. And she's like, you're a nine. But he wanted to hear five. So, you know, even when she said, well, you're a different number, he kind of, you know, it felt like he ignored it. And you know, what Pretty Bird said was, you know, how much are you going to rely on what this person is telling you? You know, if they're right, is it something that you want to hear? And then, you know, again, the way some things are even open to interpretation, it's like, are they interpreting it right? You know, maybe they're thinking, you know, it's your mother and it's not your mother. It's your mother-in-law or your sister or something. You know, it was a strong female presence, but they're missing the mark on who it is. You know, so it's really wild, and it all goes down to, I think, your own personal relationship with the information that you're trying to glean from something like that. It's like you kind of have to have an open mind, and even the interpretations can be metaphorical sometimes too. So, you know, you don't know what you're going to walk away with sometimes.
That's true.
You know, it's all fun and games until the mediums get. It's like I'm getting a message from Martha.
Yes.
And
yes.
You called Rack Hatter, and I just had to giggle. So my apologies.
I'm sorry, Hatter. I mean Rack. I'm just messing with you. I didn't even notice I did that.
But you know, because
I'm reading. I'm looking
because,
at Hatter's
you know.
Words.
You know. Yes.
Yes.
The words he cannot say, which
yeah,
is what she
cannot
say. Yeah. Ah, good Lord. All right, I am going to read Mr. Slade. go grab him. I think I'd bring him, but I didn't. La-dee-da. We're here. All about the number. Son of the Valley.
You got
there. It's already. I know. Because you're so good. And I'm not. I'm so slow at that. I don't know why. But I am. Okay. So this is about 23. And we'll discuss that after I read it. So this is 23, Son of the Valley, by Son of the Valley. 23. A number repeated repeatedly. My eyes cry whenever I see that fucking number 23. No party and no jamboree, no ancestry to plot my tree. Still my eyes cry when my mind believes the roots are 23 and me. I feel the breeze inside a need to follow her as much, to follow her as she needs he. Grief it sees as they both bleed. 23, I struck them each. Uncontrollably a bit tipsy, found a rock bottom at a tad topsy. My mind made up as I take the plunge. No number of people will stop me. Suddenly my glee reprise as I realize to some degree from the third story window of which I leap, I fall a total of 23 feet. End poem. Fabulous.
Good.
Yes. So, this is a killer poem about a killer movie that is so psychologically screwed up. it's a great movie. I don't know if you have ever watched it, but I loved him. I mean, it's a great poem. Down the rabbit hole we go. Because it's literally, where do I find myself? Where do I begin? Where do I end? It's such a novel of obsession. And the rhyme and cadence is really good in his poem, too. But this sums up the movie very well, and it sums up the obsession and what happened. So if you want to do the whole spoiler alert, I don't know, Pretty Bird, do you know what movie this is about, or have you ever seen it or heard about it?
Yes, with Jim Carrey.
Yes, okay. And Rack, I'm sure you're the same. You're brilliant and all that, so.
My mom went to the website 23andMe, so.
Because that he mentions that quite brilliantly in the thing when he's talking
yeah.
about family trees, and I just thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought that was an awesome metaphor in and of itself. So, yeah, but he did a great job with that. Because that is a freaky little movie to find out you're actually the murderer of the girl that's in the book because you wrote the book because that's your suicide note that the doctor, I mean, that is just a freaked out movie. But yeah. So what do you think of the poem?
I like the movie.
Is it a free-for-all?
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, I was my favorite verse is the one where it's no party, no jamboree, no ancestry to plot my tree. Still my eyes cry when my mind believes the roots are 23 and me. And I love that because the whole 23 and me being that DNA website and, you know, you find who you're related to on your father's side, your mother's side, so it's kind of half of who you are. And so I kind of like how that kind of, that little thing could just have so many multiple little facets, you know. So I really like that a lot. So awesomeness.
Yes. And Rack, your thoughts.
Yeah, and you know, when you're trying to distill things down to their roots, as it were, you know, it could get a little muddled up and convoluted. And so if you find yourself back where you started, that's even crazier. And you know, he did a great job with that.
Yes, I agree. So that's really cool.
Give him 23 points.
So, give him 23 points. What's my name? Kevin?
OMG.
I'm going to get myself in trouble. So we have my poem
and
to read.
And
get
more trouble.
Corner, get, I'm going to get myself put in a corner. So my poem isn't so much about, actually I have two I was going to use tonight. One I wrote a long time ago, but it's about my ambitious like need for adventure as a number five. And then I wrote a numbers poem about wanting to have control, but not have control. So this is my number five adventurous spirit. So if you guys want to hear it.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's my show, so I could just, you know, you could hang up and not hear it, but here we go. This is Tell Me Your Story. A musical begins. The sun grins on the brick alleys behind the bars. The shucking of the corn, the cut of the knife, the hiss of the steam. The stir of the spoons as it rattles the pots cooking tonight's jambalaya. Voices rise to speak hellos and goodbyes, babies giggle. Couples fight, swing sets squeak, and rocking chairs creak. The ocean roars, and the brook babbles, nature's opus. Moths dance in the pale golden rays of the streetlight's beam, as women in sequins dresses and hats with feathers waited to be seated in Tommy's whiskey and jazz house for the night. The first note from the saxophone made my thighs quiver. When the trumpets blew, I forgot my name and religion. When his fingers ran across Lucille, I lost all shame. Enraged in notes of fire, I fell into the hands of desire as monochrome keys caressed every inch of my flesh, and my mind, a choir, sang a holy song to the angels. In a black strapless dress, a woman talked of a kiss in gray and blue tones that startled my heartbeat still. Drunk on her voice, even the whiskey had no taste. Timeless energy inside my veins, pumping emotions to heights never experienced or known. Give me the notes to her story. I'll forever be loyal. Sandman's song soothes the madness in two-part harmony. Fresh scents of magnolia floating in a gentle breeze cooling the cotton sheets on a humid summer night in New Orleans. And poem.
See, you just ooze all the sensual things, and I love that, and I love smoky jazz. Love the smoky jazz. I was going to make a joke about things named Lucille, but I will keep that to myself because it's not Sunday. And but I absolutely, absolutely love this. I do. And you know what? Music is sexy. I mean, it's not just the music, but if you're just watching how adept they are when they, you know, blow and when they tickle the ivories and they're fingering that fret, it is all tactile things. And when it's a sultry, balmy night in the South and you're a little tipsy on that whiskey, it is all the good things. Now, I don't know what this has to do with the number five, except for Rack was absolutely right. This is the fifth poem of the night. And I absolutely love this. I love this. This brings me back to corsets and red lights, and not that this is a red light thing, but in that era. Like, this does not read to me, even though there's electric guitars, like you know, two nights ago, you know, out on the strip. This reads to me of a different time, and it is just amazing. So, Rack and Tour, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love when she mentions New Orleans, because that's like, I don't know, to me, that's Mecca. I just, the idea of the music and the food and the just the atmosphere and all the things that contribute to all the flavors and scents and life. It's just an amazing place to me. So, and she works in some of the subtleties of being in a place like New Orleans, where people like B.B. King could play and you know, people that worship music or whatever, you know, to hear somebody like that is like, you know, going to mount to the Sermon on the Mount kind of a thing. It's an incredible experience. So, that this experience overall, it just, you know, speaks to me of I want to say indulgence and happiness. I don't know. I got carried away because, you know, I just love listening about it to anyone that waxes poetic about New Orleans. It's just my happy place.
Yeah. So yeah, it definitely was speech to B.B. King and his guitar Lucille, and it also speaks to Billie Holiday. Yeah, in a black strapless dress, a woman talked of a kiss. So that's Billie Holiday's song, the Kiss. So I appreciate you being able to pull those little things out. So. Yeah.
You're awesome.
Thank you. And then my and the reason I said it goes with number five is because number five's personality is to always seek the height of like adventure and travel and to find those very unique experiences, something that's going to like bleed into your memory or into your soul. So that's why I chose that poem.
Well, that would do it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So that's what I was thinking, that probably is the closest to a number five kind of poem that I could think of. And then I chose this one because it's a master number, which is one of their – it's a number that is to teach you a lesson, like a teacher, something from this higher spirit – or the universe trying to tell you something, which I thought was really weird because I wrote this like 2 days after I picked numerology and I didn't know anything about it. And it's got the 11 in it. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe the universe is trying to tell me something. But so I was like, oh, well, I'll read this on my show too. But we'll just go.
All I heard. One goes to 11.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, God. This one, don't take it to 11. So this is, I love that your dog snores. It cracks me up so much, by the way.
Oh, you can hear her? Oh, that's so embarrassing.
Oh, my God, yes. She's just snoring away peacefully in the background.
She's so quiet, too.
I know, but she's just so adorable. That's Evie, everybody. You know how Amadeus used to bark in the background? Now we have Evie snoring in the background. As long as I have some dog doing something in the background of my show, it's a perfect show. So this is called 1100. 1100 pennies, dollars, or worms, maybe children, flowers, televisions, or cheese curds. Counting stars or snowflakes, 1100 doesn't cover a quarter inch of that world. 1100 stories escape from my brain. I haven't counted the number of words, separated the nouns and verbs, calculated A over B to achieve a percentage for words per verse. 1100 times I've made an excuse, undermining myself the opportunity to move. Be determining I would lose. 1100 reasons, pages lay blank in my unopened book and poem.
Oh, that is a squirrely-brained writer's block of perfection, that is. That is exactly all the tiny places that seem to just be random thoughts from snowflakes to cheese curds that when you sit there with the pen in hand looking at a blank page or that blank screen and you know that, you know, you're supposed to be doing all the creative things, but you know there is just flowers or children or snowflakes or how many snowflakes can I pack into this little tiny spot? And there are more snowflakes and stars in the universe, but the universe is infinite. And can you even count a snowflake? And yada, 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 that is just freaking perfect is what that is. Yes, ma'am. I know that place very, very well, and that is exactly what that looks like. So I love this. I truly, truly do. And all of this at the very end, with that last closing line, when you're like 1,100 reasons, pages lay blank in my unopened book, it's like all of that, all of those words, all of those, I wonder how many words per verse, all of those things that are happening in the brain all at once, all of a sudden go silent as soon as I see the notebook on the table. It's like all of a sudden everything's like, whoosh, and that is what it looks like to everybody else who isn't in your brain. And so I love that because it reads true. It reads exactly how that feels. And I love that because it's not an easy thing to convey. But, you know, and then you mentioned cheese curds, and my mind just went sideways because I love them little nuggets. They are so good. So raconteur. What are your thoughts of her curdy words?
Oh, I think this is so brilliant. I'm gonna do a little bit of a spoiler alert. I think if you look at her author page and see how many poems she's written, you'll view this poem in a different light, or a slightly different light, possibly. It'll add depth and shading to the snarkiness that she claims she needs practice doing. Because when it comes to herself and self-deprecating words, she's brilliant. Your frustration comes out wonderfully in this. I really enjoy it a lot. And the things
you.
That you talk about make so much sense. I mean, you know, it's completely understandable. You could argue it until you blew in the face, and you'll never be wrong because, I mean, obviously, you know, it's your feelings and everything else. But, you know, at the same time, people are never going to understand. it's like just do the thing. It's like, but no, if I'm going to do it, I have to do it a certain way. And it's a whole mess of shit. But it's your mess of shit. And you're happy to own it, and that's what I love about you.
I have
Thank
a question.
You. Yeah.
How the hell did you know that she's got 1,100 poems on her page? Well, 1,105, but still.
Well, actually, if I open up her page, it'll tell me that field. It'll read it to me. But I was privileged enough to hear this poem previously.
Ah, I was going to be all impressed because I'm all like, how on earth, Mr. I can't see nothing? Like, you know more than I do.
No, actually, we were discussing the fact I haven't written my book or haven't really paid attention to it, not just because of all the stuff that's like, literally, I get this house getting ready to sell, and then the brother dies, and now
and
that's
procrastination,
like
and you don't want to deal with it. Yeah,
and all of that, so I've made 1,100. Because I was shocked the day I opened up, and there were 1,100 poems. And I was like, why the fuck can't I find 200 that I think are worthy?
You're a psychedelic Skittle.
I am a psychedelic Skittle. And he just happened to be on the phone with me when I was talking about it. And I was just like, how is that possible that I have written 1,100 poems and I have such little confidence in myself that I can't find 200? What the hell is wrong with me?
I don't think you're looking at it right.
Thank you.
I think that you want the poems to be representative of what your best is. But that shifts every moment of every day depending on your mood and what you want to convey. And so you could read them all, pick 200 one day, read them all 2 days later, and be like, no, that's not what I want. because that's the nature of the beast, because they are all so, there's pieces of you in all of them. And
yeah.
since none of them are so beyond stellar because they're all so good, nothing is jumping out on you at you like this must be in there because you know, you write at a certain level, and the way you read them and what they make you feel changes every time you read them, so it's going to be inconsistent. So you can't go by that. You know, it's an unfair thing to judge by. It's not that they are unworthy. It's that there are so many of them, it's hard to look at them and say that you have that many that are good enough, because it feels wrong, but it's not wrong. That's just the way it is. You might want
yeah.
to, you know, take a deep breath and be like, you know what, maybe I don't suck, because you don't.
Yeah, and that's what I had to shut up. So this is, yeah, so this was just a kind of take a deep breath and look at what you're really looking at kind of idea. And then it just because it, the 11 is a number that talks, a teacher number that you, the spirit is trying to tell you something. I just thought it was oddly, you know,
perfect.
That I'm doing. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, what are you trying to tell me? So yeah, it was weird. So that's where it was at. So that's going to pretty much wrap up the number show, unless one of you two want to throw up a poem.
No, but if we could, before we go off air, say what's coming up, that would be awesome.
Yes, we shall do that. That's the other thing I was going to do. Let's see, what's coming up on Team of Voices? Tomorrow night we have an episode of Liquid Damages, Liquid Damage Lounge.
Open poetry.
Yeah, it's open poetry. Excuse me. I can't catch my breath. With some jokes and awesome poetry. Linda's always fun to hang out with. Beware of the jokes. They're always interesting. She's one of my favorite storytellers and rhymers. That starts tomorrow night at... doesn't say, so I don't know. I will tell you what, that is one of my pet peeves. Please tell me when your show is. So, come on, sometime tomorrow night. And close your nose, because a lot of those jokes have to do with farts. The next one, let's see what's happening after that. We've got
Saturday.
We have Saturday. I don't think we
yes,
see a Saturday
we do.
Yet.
It's on.
Okay, I don't see it. I don't have it on my
it
screen.
It is.
12.
Halfway down the page.
Open poetry with Mr. A.P. Taylor. Dun, 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 dun. Just open poetry. Have fun. Do what you're going to do. Run with it. Write what you're going to write. Please join. Come on. We've got some great poets up there. We've got Lockdown Larks. We've got Lauren 76. You've got Poeta de Cabra from Down Under himself. He's so much fun. We've got Phil the Poet. You've got Wayne Chen already up here. You've got Irish Rose. You got some great poets showing up for that show. Jenny the Deep. So he already has a full house. That is a show you want to be a part of. Even if you just tune in and listen, that's going to be great. That's the 13th. There may be something in the works on the 14th. That has to be worked out between the bird and the pea. we're thinking about that. Maybe on the 14th.
Yes,
there might be some sex.
I'm good.
Some sex. All right, well, then there's some sexy coming your way on Sunday night. It's going to be a pretty sweet.
Well, maybe not on their way.
No,
so,
maybe
that's
not
still in the
their
other
way.
World.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's
not coming your way.
Not open on the airway.
Well, there's something coming somebody's way. But it's not going to be on the public radio, sorry. It's going to be private radio. So, hey.
However,
you know,
feel free to join our sister group, and you just might get invited.
Yeah, that's right. There's a sister group. It's the Pretty Sweet Sister group. So, hey, come on in. Join. And then Monday.
AKA the Adult Lounge.
Oh, yeah, AKA the Adult Lounge.
Because they're going to look up the Pretty Sweet Sisters.
Yeah. Look up the Pretty Sweet Sisters. And that's a whole other world. The 15th is Personal Prompt Monday. It is the color purple this week. There's a lot of great things there, and that's Deborah Lee's Monday Night Show, the color series. It's purple. She's got great pictures to choose from if you want to write, still write from that. It's really got some pretty purple in there. Sorry, that starts at 9, I believe. Is it 9 or 10? I want to say it's, no, it goes, it's 10.
Saturday
10 o'clock
is
Eastern
9 and
10.
Monday is 10, yeah.
10, yeah. So I want everybody to jump on that and enjoy that. And then that's as far as I'm going to go. Because if I go out any further, I'm not going to know what the hell I'm talking about. Also look for
Tuesday, sometime before 9:30.
Yeah, Sky's on Tuesday, and that's like a gamble, so keep looking. Even on the day, we might change it. Like, just write for it, because
it's a moving
like a roulette
target.
Wheel. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, check now. So it's kind of like beer pong, just keep bouncing in the cup or the ball, and you might hit the right cup. But it's a fun game, so we all want to be there. And I love her series right now. Like I said, it's just beauty within beauty, and you can write to just about any idea that you have on love and creation and fire, and it's just stunning. And if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, you'll understand all of that Middle Earth stuff. But I don't. I just like the themes. Yeah. I don't know. But That's going on. But is that what's going on Tuesday? I don't know what she's doing
yes.
Tuesday.
She's continuing her series. It's volume 3 of the Cimmerillion, or whatever that word is,
okay.
But I can't remember.
Yeah. Volume 3 of something pretty. That's what I say. And what else are we going to do?
Can we do a wicked show? Something Pretty This Way Comes. I'm going to be all over that. You just inspired me.
Oh, I inspired Freebird, which is oddly enough, she always inspires me. So that's going on Team of Voices here at All Poetry. Generally, other things that are going on at All Poetry, you want to look out if you want to write. It is National Poetry Month, so look for that tagline here in All Poetry. Write what you want. National Poetry Month is going on. And please start looking out for the Winter Park Paint Out. Those pictures should be coming up soon. That is a huge contest here on All Poetry. We invite as many poets as you can to write for these painters. That has been going on in All Poetry for many years and is also sponsored by Team of Voices. So be on the lookout for those, because those paintings are usually gorgeous. And I think that's about all my announcements. So
well,
there you go.
Week.
Yes. Very excited about all that.
Got April covered.
Got April covered. Yeah. So, anything else? I don't think so.
Not off the top of my head.
No.
Do you got three dogs tonight?
I've got four dogs tonight. So if we just say thank you to everybody that joined us, which was AP and Deb and my great poets that were here tonight. Let's see. We had Son of the Valley, Jay Hatter, Deborah Lee, me, Rack, and Pretty Bird, who I cannot make through my shows without, because they are my sole supporters. I have pretty bird I can't make a show without because I don't even know how to work the studio half the time. But, hey, I'm learning after all these years. I know where the buttons are. And I could actually download something once every 3 or 4 months. But God knows I love doing this, and it's so much fun. And I love talking to people, and I love having people listen. And hopefully we are as entertaining as we seem to think we are. And I want to thank AP Kaler for sponsoring our little team of voices so far. He is a great member of this team, and I really appreciate him, as well as Deb and Jay Hatter and all the others that come around and help us so much. And I want to especially thank Bracken Tor, because a couple of weeks ago I totally forgot him, and I didn't mean to. And I wrote this big thing on the board, said, Rack, I didn't mean to forget you. I love you. You're the best. And I forgot that he can't read that stuff right away because he has this problem with not being able to see. And it was pointed out to me, like, you know, Rack doesn't see that right away. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I'm an idiot. So I want to personally thank him on the air for always being there for me and just supporting my show and always, like, one of the first people to call in and always just making me laugh and giggle and being annoyed with me sometimes. But he's always got my back, too. So thank you, Rack. And I'm sorry that I forgot you a couple weeks ago. And I didn't even mention you, and you were just always there. So, you know, I just had to say that, and I apologize. So, Matt, it's time to say goodnight. I love you two very much. You make my heart full of joy. So, those are the rules of the night.
Moo.
Good night, my friends. I will talk to you again soon.
Good night. Good night.
Thank
good
you,
night,
Jesus.
Everybody.
Radio. Bye.
Bye.